Just going to read a couple of those words that were read a little bit earlier in the service, where it says this: "But after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" Let's pray for a moment, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for this Christmas time. And Lord, we simply ask tonight, Lord, that you would come and, Lord, you would speak to us. Lord, for those here who wonder if you're real, wonder if you're near, Lord, I pray you would come and draw near, reveal yourself. Lord, for those who know you tonight, Lord, would you reveal something more of yourself, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to begin this evening with a quick Christmas quiz. Can you tell me who famously said these words? First one: "Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings." Yeah, Zuzu, well done. There's a few people who got it. Great. It's a Wonderful Life, amazing Christmas film. Okay, this one, some of you might enjoy this one. "Merry Christmas, you filthy animal." Who's that? Yeah, Home Alone, Kevin Home Alone, another great Christmas film. Okay, and what about this one? "Anyone who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." No, it's not David the pastor, no. It's Scrooge. Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. I've noticed something interesting about many of our favorite Christmas stories, like those ones. And it's this: they all have a kind of darkness surrounding them. Something not right, something that's broken. And I think that's why we connect with them. Something resonates in our hearts because we know what it is to live in a world which is broken, that has darkness in it, where not everything is as we would want it to be. But the other thing that we love about those stories is that what is broken doesn't stay broken, does it? It gets fixed. You know, this is a bit of a spoiler alert, but the daddy comes home in It's a Wonderful Life. The robbers get caught in Home Alone. And most unlikely of all, Scrooge gets transformed. And that's this theme of transformation. That's the theme of what was my favorite Christmas advert this year. And it's not John Lewis.
A jar of marmalade. Thank you, Santa. Santa?
They're coming. Oh, no.
Santa! Oh, I'm ever so sorry.
I'm not Santa.
Oh, this is for Alice. I know her. Let me help you.
Hey, they're mine.
She'll love it. Oh, and here's one from Gran and one from Grandad. We've got loads more to deliver. This goes in here. Pop that under there. Let's take your sleigh.
Sleigh?
Giddy up. I almost forgot. Merry Christmas, Mr. Claus.
Such a little bear.
Breaking news just in. Santa was caught on video in London late last night. Not with an elf, but with a bear.
Oh, going to need more marmalade.
This Christmas, let's spend it well.
That advert's clever because it kind of taps into something of the problems of this world. There's a robber on the roof who's been stealing people's gifts. And we know we live in a world where too often people take rather than give. don't we? You know, corruption, crime, and poverty are all symptoms of that. But then in the advert, Paddington comes with his Aunt Lucy's advice. Do you know it? If we're kind and polite, everything will be right. The problem, though, is the world isn't kind and polite, is it? Even at the end of that advert, the robber, though he's given back those presents that he's stolen, it's quite sad, isn't it? You know, he's kind of on his own, on the outside, and all he's got is a marmalade sandwich. And, you know, it's a reminder that loneliness and isolation are some of the biggest problems in our society. And I watched that advert, and I love Paddington, but something within me kind of cries out, well, what about a real answer to the problems of our world? What about a real solution? Surely there's more and better answers than just a marmalade sandwich or buying things from a shop. What's the real answer to our brokenness? Is there one? Well, the claim of that first Christmas is that there is an answer, and the answer is contained in the words to the angels. The angel to Joseph says this: "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This is where we move from fictional stories to a historical, true story that confronts the real problems in our world in order to bring a real solution. I don't know how you're feeling about Christmas. I don't know how you're feeling about life at the moment. But this evening, I want to give you a glimpse of real hope. First thing I want to talk about is confronting our biggest doubts. Many people think that the Christmas story is just a fairy tale. Is that right? Interesting, lots of people think that. In fact, at the first Christmas, many people didn't believe. But then something happens to change their minds. Even Joseph, as we've read, he didn't believe it. He and Mary were in an engagement that, to break that off in those times, because it was legally binding, was a divorce. And he had every reason to do that. His betrothed was pregnant. They weren't married. The child wasn't his. He had humanly nothing to gain and everything to lose by continuing with that marriage. Yet something changes his mind. What could change his mind? Well, verse 20 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He has a supernatural encounter with God. And this encounter, it blows away any idea that God is not real or God is distant. God sends a message about this child that was born a little over 2,000 years ago to say, this isn't any child. This is Jesus, which means the one who will save. This is Emmanuel, which is a statement that means God with us. This is the heart of Christmas. The King of the universe coming to earth as a baby, as a human being. God come to earth? I mean, that's just a dream, isn't it? I'm sure Joseph must have thought and wondered that. But then these extraordinary things start to happen that we've read about tonight. Shepherds come telling of choirs of angels coming and telling them about this birth, and they come and they worship. And then magi from the east just show up out of nowhere, saying they followed a star and they followed what's been written in the Bible, and they bring these gifts and say, well, we've come to worship this baby. And it starts to make sense perhaps a bit more in Joseph's mind. And then, extraordinarily, this child grows up and as a man does things that no man has ever done. Miracles, healings, power like never seen. Teaching the world has never heard the like of before or since. He gains this huge following. You can read about it in the Bible, but you can read about it in other historical documents like the Roman historian Tacitus or the Jewish historian Josephus. History is full of people who had every reason not to believe and yet become believers. That's true today. People who assume that God is distant, maybe not real, get confronted with evidence to the contrary. The dream becomes reality. The question, is God real? Is God near? Is emphatically answered by God coming that first Christmas time. But why? Why come as a human? Why come in such poor circumstances and such obscurity? How does that help us with our brokenness? That's what I want to talk about as we end. You see, the coming of Jesus, it confronts our biggest doubts. God is real. But the coming of Jesus also meets our deepest needs. You see, one of the great things about Christmas is how families and friends come together. You know, we see that in the Paddington advert. We see that kind of happy family that is actually so rare in the world and actually feels quite exclusive. The story of that first Christmas is all about God's mission to reunite his family. And it's a much greater family than the one pictured in that advert. It's not exclusive. It's people from every background, every race, every tribe, every tongue. But there is a problem to this family coming back together. It's not as simple as throwing a kind of Christmas party and giving out some presents. There's real problems in this family that need to be dealt with. The angel says this, he will save his people from their sins. I wonder if the idea of God's people having sin is a surprise to you. See, the Bible says that everyone, the people in the church and the people outside of the church, have this same problem of sin. Sin is rejecting the God who made us, living like he doesn't exist, doing things our own way. And I was thinking about how do I explain this? And I remembered the first time I went on holiday without my parents. I was 12 years old. I wasn't on my own. I was with someone else's parents. It was the first time I'd been on an aeroplane, and we went to Finland in the midst of winter, and you get proper Christmas weather there. I mean, tons and tons of snow everywhere. You have roads, ice roads going across frozen lakes. It's just amazing. But one of the most amazing things I discovered in Finland was that you could buy the biggest and most powerful and loudest bangers I had ever come across. They were like mini sticks of this. They weren't quite as big as that. But they were like mini sticks of dynamite. And you can imagine that 12-year-old boys just having so much fun with these huge bangers. And I thought, I've got to take some of these home. So when it came to the time to fly back, I stuffed my pockets, literally full of these small explosives. And now if you've ever been on a plane, and this was my second time, I'd flown out and flown back in now, you will know that you have to go through airport security because there are things that you're not supposed to take on airplanes. And so you go through these scanners. And, you know, you get beckoned to come forward to go through the scanner. And I remember I went through the scanner and I had that dreaded sound. Beep, 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 beep. Obviously, I had too much metal in my pocket. And so I tried to get the change out of my pocket without bringing anything else out. And one of these bangers fell out. And all of a sudden, everything became very serious. I was suddenly rushed off into a separate room. My friend's mother was called in. I was questioned. I was searched. Do I have any more? I did. Had quite a lot. And it was explained to me in no uncertain terms that explosives and planes don't mix. That though I wanted to get home to my family, I couldn't. As long as I had any explosives, I wasn't going anywhere. Thankfully, this was pre-9/11, or else I probably would have been put in prison. Explosives and planes don't mix. And here's the thing about sin. It's like an explosive. It's like a grenade. It doesn't just affect you, it affects everyone around you. It's a deadly enemy, and as long as we kind of hold on to it while it remains present, we can't be reunited to God. They don't mix sin and God. And people often hear that sort of thing and say, well, isn't that the problem with Christianity? You know, making people feel bad about their sin. Do you know, the people at the airport, they weren't trying to spoil my fun. They wanted to protect me and others. You see, God highlights sin because he wants to protect us and protect others. He actually wants to deal with it. This is why Jesus came. The angel said he will save his people from their sins. We tend to have a completely wrong view of God, what he's like. There's a really popular Christmas song called Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I wonder if you know it. It goes like, you might better sing it. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Now look at those words. That is quite sinister, isn't it? And you know, many people think that that's what God is like. Checking up. But God is not like that. He's not checking up to see if we've got sin in us. He already knows we're broken. He already knows that we're flawed. He has come to fix the brokenness, to do something about it. And the way he does that is that he takes our brokenness on himself, our sin on himself. That's what's happening at the cross. That's why he became like us, so he could take our sin, so he could take your sin. And in dying on a cross, he makes a way for forgiveness to take place and for us to be reunited with God. That kind of explosive sin is dealt with, forgiven, taken away. One of the things I love about Paddington is that he shows kindness to people who don't deserve it. Jesus on the cross, dying for you and me, is the greatest act of love and kindness there's ever been to people who don't deserve it. You know, people sometimes think that God has come to take our freedom, when actually what he's come to take is our sin and to give us freedom. We know that's true because Jesus didn't just die, he rose again, he came back to life. He's alive today, and today he offers to meet your greatest need if you will come to him and if you will put your trust in him. Let's pray together. I wonder, do you need to change your mind this evening? I wonder if you trusted in Jesus. Have you joined this family? There's going to be a prayer on the screen. It's an adaptation of a carol we sang just before this talk. And if you want to put your trust in Jesus, I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud with me in a moment. Let's pray together. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. And Lord God, I pray for every person here, Lord, that we would know the truth and wonder of our sins being forgiven and being reunited with you. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.